Hello everybody, it's Paul here at the War Room, and we're here at Adepticon, and I've been joined by the lovely guys from Snafu.
Hey Paul.
Hey Paul.
So, introduce yourselves to us, because some of the guys in England, believe it or not, and Scotland, haven't heard of you guys yet.
Well, we know we have some downloads over there, so...
You do?
A couple of them might, but I'm Pat Moline.
I'm Jeff Neff.
So, welcome to the War Room.
Thank you.
So, we're just going to sit and have a wee chat, and... have a mince and whatever over things. So bolt action, guys, because that's what we're all into.
Yep.
What do you guys love best about bolt action? Start off with the good stuff.
What do I love best about it?
Yeah.
Painting tanks.
You can never have too much olive drab, can you?
Well, there was one point where someone asked why I had so many tanks, and one of our buddies in the club also had so many tanks, and we said, you know what, let's play 3,200 points of Tank Wars. And we were playing it, and everyone walked by, I said, this is what you do when you have too many tanks.
Beautiful.
It is. It was a lot of fun.
What about yourself? What do you like best?
I love the game mechanics. I mean, I've played tons of miniatures games, and the order draw mechanic, I just love how the game plays.
It is. It's fairly simple compared to some games we could mention that are out there.
There's just enough variation in it, though. You never have that predictability about who's going to get the next dice out of the bag, who's going to get the next unit activation.
So, bolt action itself. So, we've done what we love about bolt action. What do you guys think could be improved in bolt action?
Sounds like a loaded question. I have some thoughts on that.
Loaded dice.
That's a different podcast.
Brad. Hi, Brad, wherever you are.
What we did at our tournament, not versus Snafu, we did a recon rumble, which is kind of like a combat patrol sort of thing. And the caveat it was there was no tanks, but it was like Tank Wars requirement. So all the troops had to have a ride. And I kind of wanted to get these armored carriers involved,
yeah,
because they're pointed so high and don't seem to have as much value to them.
So we're talking like the German half tracks, for example,
right,
and
the
stuff along that.
The M5 or even the Brenz.
Yeah.
You know, so all these open top armored carriers, which small arms fire doesn't do anything to them, but they take pins, and the vehicle takes pins, so the guys inside take pins. So Jeff concocted a pretty good rule idea, and here's what we did.
Hold on. Jeff had a good idea.
It happens occasionally.
Carry on.
Mostly about bolt action.
But, pretty much exclusively bolt action.
So we came up with a little caveat, and we said, okay, with a small arms fire only, the transport will take a pin, but the guys inside, if it's an armed transport, will not take a pin.
Whole point, Ryan, is to protect you from small arms fire. Won't stop a mortar round coming in the top, won't stop an assault.
Right.
But it'll stop a rifle shot.
So that's a nice wee nuance. Oh, look at that big word on the show tonight,
big
guys.
Well, it's kind of late.
I gotta get my dictionary out. I don't know if I know that one.
But it's nice. It's adding a wee bit of flavor to what's already there.
Right.
And you know, again, they're pointed so high that I think a lot of people just steer clear of them.
So really, it's saying you'd like to see more of these units that aren't played. If I'm sort of broadening it out.
Yes.
I've got 3 M5s that never make the table.
Yeah.
I've got 6 251s, and occasionally I'll sneak one on the table, but it's usually because it looks cool rather than points effectiveness.
Right.
So that's your method. What about you, Jeff? Anything? If you could wave your little fairy wand, Alessio wand, and his pixie ponies, what would you like to see change?
So this one will be funny if you know me personally, the games I play, but we've been having some deep conversations, let's say, in the Midwest about multiple launchers, and they're a little too good for what they can do to a game.
That's a discussion we've been having all around the world, isn't
it? Yeah. So the idea Pat and I came up kind of talking down here is rather than having it roll for everybody within 6 inches of the template, maybe we try like D3 units within 6 inches of the template.
Or even a D3 plus one.
Or just give a D3, you know, shot. Something like that. Enough to distinguish it from an artillery piece and a mortar, but keep value there for wanting to, you know.
So what about the, because the current thing is with houses, with the target house.
Yeah.
You can, and you can target units that you can't see.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of a problem because, you know, I mean, one of the ways you avoid getting multiple launcher is to stay out of line of sight on it. But if you can shoot the house and still get the shot on them, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. Yes, it's an interesting thing. But, do you feel there's too many rules, units that are like that in the game which need to be tweaked? Or?
You know, there's not a ton that need to be tweaked, I don't think. Maybe it's a handful, like 4 or 5 tops.
Japanese.
It's the Japanese need to work over in smaller point games. Bigger points, right. I think it starts evening out pretty fine.
Yes.
This is like combat patrol size. It can be real scary with guys that they don't get stopped by pins.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
And again, that's a manageable.
That's manageable, right? You just have to know how to play for it.
Right.
But the interesting thing is being here and talking to people is how everybody sort of has their own, I hate using the word, but meta, their own sort of community.
Absolutely.
And they tend to get stuck playing the same things and the same type of thing. Do you find that where you guys are from?
Sometimes, although we really try to roll wrecking balls through the local metas with different lists once in a while. And sometimes that means you bring multiple launcher lists to a tournament. And sometimes that means
you bring two Cromwells.
A 30-core list to a tournament and see what it does. And, you know, if one guy brings four launchers, I get all the flack for it, and he can get away with two Cromwells and have a great day.
Yes. Which, by the way, there's still guys from that tournament that were here giving me static for it this weekend.
It's true. It's true.
Well,
the metas will develop, but you got to just have a couple guys willing to do something that'll shatter that meta.
And oh, boy, you should come to Scotland, man.
And sometimes,
you'd
breaking the meta, you're going to get yelled at a little bit, or somebody's going to be a little grumbly with you about something, and you just got to live with it.
Right.
So do you guys personally, do you like playing competition? Do you like the more campaign-y style?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say, we come to tournaments, and when we come to tournaments, we bring competitive lists.
Yep.
I mean, we're here to play, we want to... I mean, we don't have to win to have a good time, but we certainly are not going to bring super, what we call, fluffy bunny lists here, you know. So we'll play in tournaments to be competitive, but when it comes to, like, the shop or just in the store with the guys, we run a...
We like to do campaign
stuff.
We love campaign stuff.
We love doubles games. We played four-on-four game once. Yeah.
And 4 hours, I don't think we got real far, but
no, but
it was
fun. Really cool.
Yeah. It looked cool, because everyone's got, like, just...
So it's the rule of cool, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the rule of
just
cool.
Gobs of guys. Yeah.
So, of course, we've got Warlord's D-Day campaign coming up. You guys have heard
really
about that?
Really excited about that.
Really excited. Yeah.
It's going to be one of the global campaigns. They did one before, didn't they? Was that Invasion of France?
I can't remember now. Operation Sea Lion.
That was it, Operation Sea Lion.
Right, yeah.
So we'll be looking forward to that. Any ideas?
Now, this actually happened.
Now, that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. It's like K-47. It should have been a book, not a separate game. Anyway, let's not go down that little rabbit hole.
Right.
So, the campaign, what would we like to see in the D-Day campaign coming up? Any ideas what you'd like?
I'd really like to see is a massive crossover between Blood Red Skies and Cruel Seas.
Yeah.
And both
I would,
and both
I would love to see that as well. And I know the guys at Warlord are fairly keen to see that. I know that the D-Day campaign at Nottingham is going to be Cruel Seas, Blood Red Skies, and Bolt Action.
Awesome.
So, and I think the guys in America here as well are quite keen to maybe do some things along that line. So that would be cool. I don't know if it is. I suspect it is, but I actually don't know.
Right. You know. Well, we've talked to John Russell from Warlord a couple of times, and he's... You know, talked about, you know, the different games that they have, that this, what's going on here impacts this part of the bolt action game, and this impacts
that
this
looks
part.
Like good, that looks like good fun.
Right, and
go for
just
that.
To maybe see an actual rule set or guidelines that ties that together, I think would be really cool, and I think D-Day would be the right time to do it.
Absolutely.
Everything was there.
Yep.
Yeah, well, if it can be done for that. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's one or two sort of raids and things which lend itself to it. So, Chariot, the San Nazaire raid.
Yes.
You can obviously Cruel Seas to San Nazaire, bolt action for the San Nazaire obstacle race, and then see if the boys can get home from Spain, it was, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that would be quite good fun.
Yes.
So we've got that coming up, but of course, we're all here at Adepticon. How did Adepticon go, guys? Better for some than others that are sitting here.
Let's just say
I said embarrassingly.
It played out a lot better in my mind than it did with the dice I had.
I used all my good dice rolls yesterday in Combat Patrol. See, that was the problem.
Combat Patrol. How did Combat Patrol go for you guys?
It started great and kind of took a poo after that. Started with a win.
What were you playing with?
I was playing British just because I knew I had a six-hour drive, and I just wanted something that I've been playing British for about 2.5 years, and so they're kind of autopilot for me.
Yeah.
So I just a really multiple small unit list. I had 5 units of 6 riflemen with, of course, the rapid fire. And so I was able to do really good. Executed just fine in my first game. Mm. And second game, it came up against Japanese, and it just There's just too many things I couldn't get quite in there, and my brain was mushy, and I was.
It was 450 points. I find 450 points really difficult to.
Yeah.
To build a list for.
Right.
I don't know if you guys, man, was like, how am I going to get? And do I go for the dice, or do I go for something stronger? And
7 variants before I settled down to a list I hadn't played.
And had some. I thought there were some quite good rules for combat patrol, so there was no armor over 7.
No armor 9 or higher.
Yeah.
So there was Captain 8.
There was 1 flamer only, not vehicle.
Yep.
There was 3 no template weapon over 2 inches.
Yeah, smaller templates.
Yeah, so okay, I thought it worked. I thought it was really. I thought it was cleverly done. The guys, as it Jeremy was doing that one.
I think so. Yeah.
Jeremy from the Chicago Bolt Action guys.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought they did really well.
They did great. Yeah.
He always does a good job in these tournaments.
Absolutely. He really
does. He does.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I had a great time.
What did you play it?
I brought my African Corps list, just a cut down version of our doubles list. So, had the 4 squads, had a 2-2-2, a tank rifle, and a light mortar. Love the light mortar, by the way. Highly underrated.
It is. I played a guy. Who did I play? I played Gaz at Cambridge Too Far. And his light mortar took out my 2 snipers.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is going on, lads?
It's a great unit, you know? So, yeah.
You know, I think, yes, one of those ones. I don't know if you know the guys at the Juggernauts, but they were saying one of those units that's much underloved.
Absolutely.
Underloved.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, we rolled on to doubles today, didn't we, guys?
Yeah.
So, how did your doubles go? First game, you played a bunch of.
Bunch of arrogant arses.
I'm glad you said that, not me. So we faced off against each other in the first game.
And,
so
you know,
he can't say it was a horrible game to play, and he's never going to play us again. So.
Well, it was really nice to finally meet Alan from
GC Minis. And his podcast, which is The Game Room?
I believe that's correct.
The Game Room.
Yes, The Game Room,
yeah. Yeah, The Game Room, yeah.
So we've been emailing back and forth for about 2 years since he started being kind of a sponsor for Operation Snafu.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of, you know, gives us a discount on his product and we give honest reviews about it and try and steer. I mean, he's got some good quality stuff. So it was, after all the emails for 2 years, it was nice to actually meet him.
Put a face with it, like in person face.
Yes.
Yeah, and find out he's a really nice guy, too. So, yeah.
Shame about his double spot.
Well, you know, it happens. It happens.
So we had quite a good game.
I thought it was a great game.
It was a tough, hard-thinking kind of a game for me.
So it was one of
I don't do thinking.
It was one of those games that the scenario is really tough in a double setting. For time-wise.
Yeah.
And I thought you guys had basically won, more or less.
Right.
And it all came down to counting dice at the end, wasn't it? So.
Right, and if we'd had that, you know, enough time to finish a 6th turn, I think what you thought
would trying to say we were slow
true.
Playing.
No,
that's the last time these guys come on the show, lads.
No, but it was 18 order dice aside. It's tough to get it.
Yeah.
And 2.5 hours. That's just too many order dice to get through.
For a pairs, it is, because with pairs, you tend to be chatting to the other guy and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did find our second game was quite. We were lucky to get to turn 4.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun and the pitfall of doubles. It's like you got someone you're playing with. You're playing with someone else, and
it makes me wonder whether maybe double shouldn't be 1,000 points or something.
Either 1,000
does that sound
points
daft
for 3 hours, either one. Yeah, pick one way and go with it. That was our suggestion. Well, it was my suggestion on my feedback sheet was go one way or the other, and it should work out just fine.
Because we're here and there's a trade show on as well. Excuse me, it would have been nicer to maybe have a little bit more time between games, considering, we want a shop, considering that we had. The place is empty now, and we could have sort of played one game morning, one game afternoon, one game evening maybe or something.
Right.
I mean, I gave that suggestion to the guys. The tournament was run fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't mean it as a criticism, more as an observation, you know?
Well, imagine, you know, due to time constraints, you know, we have to leave early Sunday, so we're not able to do nationals. But if we played nationals, we're playing the entire time the vendor hall is open, and we don't get a chance to go shop and
never
find anything. We wouldn't at all, unless you tank one of your games.
Just have to get chatting to
now, Alan. For the record, Pat got one of these. I got both these. I have the record for the 2 fastest games so far here.
I definitely wasn't getting the fastest game today. That was just
both the 38-minute win in
combat patrol
and the 208 win in doubles. So.
Which, by the way, we could have cut that down to 108.
we were just dinking around.
Hour. Some chums that we play up in the city. So
we know them, and we were on the very bottom table. So we were all just having a great time down there.
Yeah. That game was over about 3 order dice in.
Yeah.
So your second game today in the doubles. How did that go, guys?
We struggled.
We ran into some steel teeth.
Yeah, they had a beautiful double...
Churchill three.
Double light artillery, double mortar, and 50 or 60 boys to boot. And it's just like, I got a Pack 38.
I got a Panzer III that everybody's shooting at.
Yeah. Top of that, he triple-sixed my Sturm Panzer II with the big old artillery piece off the board, like second turn. It's like,
and then next turn, he landed the artillery strike right in the middle of everything.
Again.
Yeah.
I was just like,
bolt action definitely happened, lads?
Oh, it happened. It happened.
Bolt action happened.
I'm still trying to get it off my shirt.
Yep.
I'm all about game three. How did you do in game three, guys?
We couldn't go do anything wrong, or at least I couldn't game
no.
three. First shot of the game, I dropped that heavy mortar and I hit a gun, which the template was big enough to hit the gun next to it and the lieutenant next to it. And it's like, I killed everything. My anti-tank rifle next shot kills the truck, kills the guy inside, and it's like, he's down five dice, and he hasn't... we pulled two dice out of the bag.
Right.
And it's like, oh, man.
And then I assaulted with my troops an M10 and took it out.
Yeah.
And lived to tell about it.
Lived to tell the tale.
Even after everything he had in that area fired on the unit, I still had one guy that slithered away. And it came down to when we were done, he had a Jeep with a 50 cal left on the table.
That was it.
You were harsh, guys. You were harsh.
I lost.
If they weren't people
guy.
We knew.
Yeah, we would have.
So, you know, we've done turns with these guys locally before, yeah. You know, and they were having as much fun with it.
Well, that's the great thing with the bolt action. You can quite often tailor your game to the guys you're playing. And,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, you can go a bit more serious and be a bit more laid back.
Yeah.
Right.
Depending on how the day's going and how the dice are going.
This was definitely laid back and just kind of having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew it, so. And plus, I think we got some books out of the deal for fastest game, right?
Yeah, we did. So like I said, we could have cut that down to an hour and 9 minutes.
Everybody's winner. They got some books. We got some books. Everybody's a winner.
Yep.
So, in general, then, the doubles tournament and the combat patrol, how did you find the scenarios? Because the scenarios were more or less written or adapted for the Adepticon tournament.
Yeah.
Right. So the one thing I said about in my feedback with the scenarios, release them ahead of time, give players a chance to do some playtesting, get familiar with it. You don't have as many confusion and mistakes coming into the tournament.
Yeah, so after the lists are in,
right.
Then
after
you release
the submitted,
them. And if they haven't got the lists in, they take some sort of a penalty.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And that way, I mean, one of the worst... I'm not going to name here, but the last time we played in doubles, someone played the wrong scenario for a game.
There's absolutely no finger pointing going on here whatsoever.
There was three other guys at the table, and they all went along with it too, is all I'm going to say.
So he comes out to lunch, and he says, hey, how did you score points in that? And I said, points? That wasn't a point scenario. What the hell are you talking about?
It happens. The guys, Jeremy and the rest of the guys, Andrew and the rest of the guys from Chicago, I think they were helped by Paul Stewart, did a lot of he was the sorcerer's apprentice for the 2 days.
He's a fun guy to hang out with.
Yes, he is.
They all say, I thought they all did really well. I didn't notice any hiccups. It all seemed to go pretty smooth.
Man, if there was a hiccup, no one ever saw it. Butter.
And I enjoyed it, and the results all seemed to...
Yeah.
Do well. So
great
again,
tournament.
Another success, and it's a bigger tournament this year. I don't think you guys were there last year.
We were not.
But I mean, I think we had two rows of tables last year. This year we got four rows of tables.
That's
right.
Great.
It's at 36 this year, right?
Yeah. I think we've got 54, assuming they'll turn up at the moment for nationals.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
Which
that's
is
fantastic.
A nice,
yeah.
Nice big number. It's nice to see people coming for that.
Yeah.
For that. So what about back home, guys? What's Snafu got up its short T-shirt sleeve?
All right, so short term, we've got a tournament called Bug Eater in Omaha, and that's the first weekend in June.
Yep.
So that does put stuff together for that because
I so want to come across the Bug Eater, just so I can beat Sean.
If you can ever make
or not
it,
beat Sean.
Yeah, that's Sean's neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Sean Vilmont, the Wahoo Warrior.
Yes.
Check him out. He's got some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, YouTube channel's great.
It is.
Lots of good stuff.
And then after that, we have to start tailoring and finalizing Operation Snafu.
Yeah.
Number three.
Because that's getting to be
16th.
Quite a big one now, isn't it, chaps?
It's getting there.
We're trying.
Yeah.
So we went, first year we had 20 signed up. The second year we had 28 signed up. And now we've added a tournament on the Friday before. And our format's a little different than your conventional, to say the least.
Flags?
So we have... We have...
See, I do listen occasionally to the podcast.
Yeah, we've got the flag rule.
We've got objective tables in the middle that whoever wins or loses gets certain advantages for the rest of the sides in that.
It's very much a red versus blue, Axis versus Allies tournament. Yeah.
And the big thing is we don't assign matchups. We let the players decide what table they're going to play on and who they kind of end up playing.
Yeah. Now, so they don't get to pick a person, but they pick a location they're going to send their army to.
Now, once in a while, when you get to game four, High Command kind of recommends somebody go to a certain area.
So do we have arguments over who High Command will be?
Well, High Command would be the Operation Snafu guys.
So
if you got people who are really high in points and competing for first, we'll direct those to say, hey, you guys really need to play each other,
right? Yep. We need to figure out who the Highlander is, who's the best.
Yes.
There can be only one of you.
And so we've got that going on. So that's the two main... events that you organize in the year.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about the podcast? What's coming on the podcast? Do we know? Or is that just unlike mine? You open up a tape recorder and just talk.
We have a beautiful review of the new Fortress Budapest book that kind of got eaten in an edit and just got sorted out.
We actually had a snafu on Snafu.
Yeah, right? So it should have been out so everyone could have listened to it on the way here, but...
That is a nice book as well, I think, anyway. I don't know how you guys know, but I thought that's been very well done.
After that book, I picked up 100 and some bucks in Hungarian troops.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely fantastic.
I think it's the best one to date.
Yeah.
Well, Hungary originally was just kind of like, yep, they're here, and it was done in, you know, Italy and the Axis, and... He did a fantastic job on it.
I love the new rules as well.
Yes.
To me, it's like the first time they've done, we'll do units for campaign, but let's see if they can be played out. You know, and they've... I'm sure the other guys have, but this one really looks as though they've had a little bit of thought about these guys are going to take these to tournaments and events. You know, how can they...
As a matter of fact, I am.
Hmm?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am.
Yeah, very much so. No, I really like that because it felt like the book will integrate with the main... Call it the main game, whatever, the tournament scene main game.
And it's not forcing you to only play these units in this campaign.
Right.
Which I think a lot of some of the other books, the units don't play as well outside of that setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they're special rules or just the composition of the units themselves don't lend it.
I don't think there was anything that was too overpowered in Budapest. I suppose the paratroopers were the most strong, but not compared to other paratroopers,
right.
You know.
Pay for it. I mean, it's not
the same price as Gurkhas.
Yeah.
Right. But they're great, right?
Right. So are Gurkhas.
Gurkhas are fantastic. So yeah, no, that is probably each book gets better. I was saying to this guys, the Market Garden one was great, Western Desert was even better, and this one's even better than that. So
I like Market Garden, but then I know Chris Brown, but I got a bit of flack. I don't know it was all together deserved, and a lot of people decided there was less, they wouldn't let Market Garden into their tournaments.
Yeah, 30 corn.
You know?
Some of the theater selectors in Market Garden play well against each other.
Oh, how diplomatic of you. Knowing Chris Brown, he won't be offended by that. Dear old Chris, he likes to play a game that's on a 40-foot table. It's like, Chris.
Right.
You know, but...
Well, Market Garden had a lot of bridges, and bridges are really tough in standard scenarios.
Bridges don't play well for gameplay.
So I have put together the Pegasus Bridge kit, and you need to have a scenario for that.
You need double table for
like
the damn model.
Like the scenario we played this morning with the objectives, you really couldn't do that one on Pegasus Bridge.
No, I've got a 3D printer and files for every bridge of Market Garden.
Oh, is that the Y one?
Yeah. And I could blow it. I mean, you got to scale them up, but it's like, I need the entire room for some of these bridges. It's like the Arnhem Bridge is...
Arnhem Bridge.
The road tables would have to be used.
I think the bridge is just the table, right?
Right.
Almost it is, yeah. But yeah, great stuff. So we've probably been wittering on a wee bit too long, but that's okay for my wee podcast. So more importantly, how can guys get to your podcast at the Snafu?
TheSnafuPodcast.com.
That's our website. You can pick us up on the Google Play and iTunes, I think.
iTunes, Cast as well.
Download automatically on Cast. So,
well, I'd like to thank you guys very much, and from myself and the guys at the Snafu, mahalo for now.